Welcome to Season 5, Episode 1 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. The episodes in Season 5 are going to be centered around the topic of the church. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the question, is one church as good as another? As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the scriptures teach. Let's get started. As we talk with people in the world, particularly with those who are religious, one idea with which we are often confronted is that one church is as good as another. Many people believe this. This can make it difficult in trying to lead someone to the truth. After all, if someone is already part of a church, they can just ignore whatever it is that you say because their church is just as good as yours is. So the person you're discussing this with has no reason to consider any discussion that might lead him to decide to leave his current church. And if one is not a part of a church, and should he decide to attend one, it would not have to be where you attend. He can go anywhere, limited only by how far away from home he wants to drive. This concept that one church is as good as another must be eliminated if we want to have any success in leading souls to Christ. So it is good for us to consider this idea so that we might be better prepared to handle the various situations in which it might come up. First thing we need to realize is that different churches are not the same. This is a simple fact, but it's one that many people overlook. While believing that one church is as good as another, many believe this because all churches are basically the same, but they are not. There is a reason why there are so many denominations. They all teach and practice different and sometimes conflicting things. One church may baptize infants. Another may not baptize one until he has grown and believes he is already saved. One church may allow women to preach while another teaches that women are to be silent. Some churches today are allowing practicing homosexuals to hold leadership roles while others believe and teach that homosexuality is a sin. Can all of these be right? Certainly not. Yet so many people say that one church is as good as another. To say that these churches are as good as the others is to say that these differences do not matter. So let's consider this idea of joining the church of one's choice. For many people, deciding what church to attend is based upon personal preference. People want to do whatever they want to do, and the area of religion is no exception. Multitudes have been told to join the church of their choice. And churches then, because of this, have rushed headlong into promoting what is sometimes called the social gospel, offering whatever they believe will appeal to prospective churchgoers. And they market themselves as if they were a business, and in fact, that is what many of them have become, hoping that their church will be the one that people will want to join. However, instead of telling people to join the church of their choice, we need to tell them to join the church of God's choice. One church is not as good as another. The churches of men can never measure up to the church of our Lord. Now, man may make a choice because God has given us free will. Throughout the Bible, there are calls for men to make a choice, and in all of these, there are ultimately two options. We can follow God's way, or we can follow man's way. In Matthew 7, 13, and 14, Jesus talked about the narrow way that leads to life and the broad way that leads to destruction. Those are the two ways that we can follow. We need to do what pleases God and not what pleases ourselves. Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 10 talked about how we are to be trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This includes the church that we choose to work and worship with. Now, our decisions on this, if we're going to join or become part of a particular church, that decision must be based upon what is right. In everything we do, we must strive to do what is right. And that which is right is determined by God's revealed word. Jesus prayed in John 17, 17. As he prayed to the Father, he said, "Your word is truth." Therefore, we need to use his word to determine what church is right. Now, some will object to this point, because after all, to say that one church is right implies that the other churches are wrong. And some will say that there is some truth in every religion or in every denomination. But we are not to be interested in some truth. We need to be interested in the whole truth. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, 160, the sum of your word is truth. And there are many churches that are wrong. Which ones? If we're going to identify the right church, and I would contrast that from the wrong church, what are the wrong churches? Simply those that are not the right church. Now that answer might seem too simple, but any church that is not the right church is the wrong church. The right church is the one that Jesus built, as he said he would in Matthew 16, 18, the one that he purchased with his blood, Acts 20, 28, and the one that, as Paul said in Ephesians 5, 23, the one that he will save in the end. This is the church that we need to be a part of, and no other church ought to be good enough for us. Well, how do we know which church is right? How do we know which church is Christ's church? In order to know that, we have to look to the New Testament. And when we look there, we can see how the church that he built, the church that he bought, and the church that he is saving is described. So I want us to notice 6 points that we find from the New Testament that help us identify his church. Number one is the establishment. The Lord's church was established in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, as it is recorded in Acts chapter 2. Any church that was established by someone else in a different place at a different time is not the right church. Number two is the organization of the church. The church that we read about in the New Testament was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and as Christ as the cornerstone, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 and verse 20. This is the only organization that we find beyond the local church. Local congregations then are made up or were overseen by qualified elders with deacons helping to carry out the work that needed to be done. We read about these in passages like Acts 14 and verse 23, where it talks about elders being appointed in every church. Philippians 1:1 talks about overseers or elders and the deacons. God's plan does not allow for a one-man pastor system or for a hierarchy of men who oversee various congregations. Both of these are common in denominationalism, but they are not how the church that is described in the New Testament was organized. Number three is the message of salvation. The first century church taught that in order to be saved, one must believe in Christ, repent of his sins, confess his faith, and be baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was established, and people then had to ask, after they believed the message, what must we do? They were told in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. They believed, they repent, they are baptized. Romans 10:9-10 talks about the verbal affirmation of faith, a confession. These are the things we must do: belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. Churches that teach that one is saved by faith only, or by saying a sinner's prayer, or by some other way other than the way that is talked about in the New Testament, are wrong churches. Number four is doctrines. Again, the church built by Christ, as Ephesians 2:20 says, was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. This means that the church followed the apostles' teaching, as it says in Acts 2:42. The Lord's church is not to follow the opinions and the traditions and the commandments of men, whether they are contained in a formal creed or an informal one, or a written creed or an unwritten creed. The Lord's church does not follow the teachings of men. The churches of men, that is what they're based on, is following the commandments, the traditions, and the opinions of men. Number five is the work of the church. The works that God has given the church are evangelism and edification. The church, in 1 Timothy 3:15, is the pillar and support of the truth. The church, as described in Ephesians 4:16, is a self-edifying body. And there's also a provision in the New Testament for limited benevolence. And we'll discuss these more in the next episode. But the church, as described in the New Testament, is not engaged in benevolence to non-Christians and to provide recreation or entertainment. These things that are common in churches of men, these are not the things that the Lord's church ever did in the first century. They're never authorized to do these things by the Lord. Number six is worship. We're told in John 4:24 that we are to worship in spirit and truth. That means with the right attitude and following the proper commands as the Lord has outlined them in His Word. When we read the New Testament, we see the Lord's church engaging in certain activities in the assembly. We read about singing in 1 Corinthians 14:26, praying, Acts 12 and verse 12, preaching and teaching in Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 14:26, giving on the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians 16:2, and partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7. Those are the things the church did when it came together. The churches of men add all sorts of things to those five actions that we read about in the New Testament. And when we expand the worship to include these other things, we're not following the pattern that has been given in the New Testament. So the question that every one of us needs to ask, are we part of the Lord's church, the one true church? And if you're not part of that church, then you need to be. No other church will be good enough because no other church has Jesus as its founder and ultimately as its savior. So if you are not part of the Lord's church, why not do what the Bible teaches that one must do in order to be added to it? Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about the all-sufficiency of the church. Until then, I hope you have a great week.